even in our ungodliness, he still chose to save us.
Yeah.
It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, the ungodly are those that don't have God's power. They don't have God's spirit. They don't have God's ways. They don't have anything about or with God. And yet, when we were without strength, in due time, focus in on that for just a second, though. It's going to come up later. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, in the atmosphere of Bethesda, in walks Jesus. In walks God in the flesh. He walks up to the senior member at Bethesda. Keep in mind, he had been impotent and unable to get to the water for 38 years. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to show my age or lack thereof. I'm not even 38 yet. I can't even imagine that number yet. But for those of you that have lived beyond it, maybe you're 40. Imagine 38 years. How much of your life? Now imagine at this point you've not been able to walk and you've seen people, person after person, receive their miracle. You've watched person after person go ahead of you and somehow find a way to make it past. And yet here you are, 38 years in, still waiting. Because we need to get into that mindset of how much that would take in and how much that would bother us. Some of us can't even wait for a day or a week, much less 38 years to get what we're looking for in God. And yet this man has been here, and Jesus asks him a question that cuts to the chase. Wilt thou be made whole?
Yeah.
I want to clarify something. He didn't ask, do you want to be healed? He didn't ask, do you want to walk again? He didn't ask, do you want me to carry you to the water? He said, do you want to be made whole? Because let's be real here. A man who's been impotent for 38 years probably lived on the welfare of others. He lived on the mercy of others. You can't go 38 years without eating, of course. So somebody had to be bringing him something. Water, food, new clothing, whatever it may be. He had to live on the mercy of others. He could not be self-sufficient. And so when Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Are you looking to have your life radically changed? Because Jesus doesn't come in and say, I'm going to fix this one little problem and let you be on your way and not expect your life to change drastically. He's not the physician. He's the great physician.
Yeah.
Right? And so, the man had not asked Jesus for help. Jesus went to him. But yet the man in this moment being asked, wilt thou be made whole? He would have to lose his victim mentality.
Yeah.
He would have to lose his comfort zone.
So good.
And that's not easy to do. Because even though he may have wanted every single time to get into that water and be able to walk, there's an entire possibility he never thought of, now what do I do? What will I do next? Right? The dog that chases the car finally gets to it. What am I going to do with it now? Right? So there's an entire possibility he never thought, well, what happens when I am made whole? At this point, it's always been a dream, right? A pipe dream. Maybe one of these days it'll finally happen. But in walks Jesus and is like, hey, here's the moment. You going to do it or not? We always think, yeah, absolutely, we're going to be healed. But sometimes we don't think about what does that mean? What does it mean when Jesus actually radically changes our situation? What does it actually mean when Jesus changes it for the better and now we live in that new life? I always heard this growing up, new levels, new devils. The world's going to come against you in a different way when you're in that kind of perspective. But when Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Look at his answer. I have no man to put me into the pool. He didn't say yes. He didn't say I'd love to. He didn't say I would have been waiting for this for 38 years. No. What did he say? I have an excuse. I have nobody to get me there. Even though he could have easily asked Jesus to pick him up and take him there at that point. But he didn't. It was immediately to an excuse. I've had 38 years to wallow in my misery. Don't stop me now. Sometimes we get that way, right? I've been in this situation for too long. Who are you? You've never been impotent. You've never been able to walk. How can you possibly relate to me? Is that not what sometimes we say or hear other people say? You can't relate to me. You've not been in my situation. How can you possibly help? Because keep in mind, he probably did not know who Jesus was at this moment. But yet for 38 years, he'd been a victim of careless indifference and inefficiency of family, friends, and community. Wow. Never able to make it to the waters on time. But Jesus knows this man is focusing on his problem. He's focusing by bypassing with an excuse. But Jesus also knows he's offering a solution. Well, wilt thou be made whole? You see, sometimes we're in these situations, we look at these pipe dreams, we wonder what life would actually be like later on. But then when we finally get there, we hesitate because now we're actually stepping into it. Now imagine with me for just a moment, you're this man at the pool, and you're looking to that pool, the troubling of those waters, the very thing that you've been waiting on all this time, and now this man is coming up to you, interrupting your view of that water. What if while he's talking to you, you don't get there this time? And you got to wait even longer. Because when we look in the eyes of the flesh, that's what we do sometimes. Lord, I ain't got time to pray. I got to go do something else. Lord, I ain't got time to go to church. I've got work to do. Lord, I don't have time to read my word. There's a good show on. Or I might miss the news. Or I might miss my hobby. Lord, don't make me do something. I want to live godly. But Lord, when I actually have time to do it, I want to do something else. This had been the source of his hope for years, the source of his livelihood and his expectations, the life he knew and the life he'd have to leave. Even if he was healed, he'd have to leave the familiar. But yet Jesus is asking, wilt thou be made whole? Not simply in body, but in spirit, in mind, back in position of society, in worship, and in praise, wilt thou be made whole? Because we can have eyes to see and not see who Jesus is. We can have ears to hear and not hear what the preaching goes across this pulpit every Sunday. We can have legs to walk and walk the other direction from church. The Lord is in the healing business, but he's in the saving business too. You see, the Pharisees got mad that he was healing. Rather than rejoicing, this man has been impotent for 38 years. They got mad about when and how he did it. Right? God help us if we ever get in that position. God help us if we ever get in the position that you didn't heal him right. You didn't heal him when I wanted you to heal him. God, I knew better than you. God forbid if we ever get in that kind of position. But I'm a firm believer that the Bible does not put any single word in there for accident. I don't believe any Bible teacher or apostle or anyone like that put a word into the Bible haphazardly. But there's a reason for every one of them. And this man was impotent for 38 years. I keep bringing that up for a point. Because there is a parallel to the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, you see, when Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, God had already what? Promised it to them, right? That's why they call it the promised land. It had already been promised. And so they should have faith in God that they should be able to just walk on in. Any wars or battles that's coming against them, who's fighting on their side? The Lord. But instead of walking straight on in, what do? Moses, we're a little scared here. Can you probably send in a few guys to just kind of look it over, make sure it's a good place, make sure this is the right thing to do? And they're scared. And when the spies come back, 10 of them bring what the Lord calls an evil report.
Yeah.
They were terrified. There's giants in there. We can't fight these giants. I know the Lord opened the Red Sea, but we can't beat these giants. I know the Lord brought manna down from heaven, but we can't fight these giants. I know the Lord gave us quail when we asked for meat, but we can't fight these giants. I know the Lord opened up a rock and gave us water, but we can't fight these giants. The Lord brought down the most powerful army in the world in Egypt, but we can't fight these giants. They were terrified. They were afraid. And the Lord told them that they were going to be 40 years in the wilderness before they were ever going to enter into what? Their promise. But if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, it says after 38 years, the men of war had died. That previous generation that was terrified, they ended up passing away in the wilderness. And the very children that they were terrified would end up being victims are the ones that walked on in. For 38 years, they walked all outside the promised land, able to see it, and couldn't walk in.
Wow.
Just like this impotent man went 38 years looking at his promise and could not walk in.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus doesn't just heal to be healing. He does so much more than that. He's such a greater God than that. And I'm going to be completely honest with you all, as though some of y'all probably turned to it. I got ahead in my notes. That verse is in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 13 and 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Since I got ahead in my notes, my apologies. Sometimes I get a little excited when I get into the word of the Lord. Let me correct myself. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You have to choose life. You see, they did not choose life in the wilderness. They chose fear and regret, and they chose not to listen to God and walk into the promise. And many of our circumstances, if not all, are because of unhealthy and unrewarding choices. Choice to take responsibility or blame others. See, they had made that choice to spy out the promised land, to give an evil report, to fear the giants in the land, to believe that they could not, despite God telling them that they could. And because they chose to fear instead of trust, the older generation died out, never made it into that promised land, and had to make their children wait another 40 years to go. The very children they were afraid to die would take their place. And again, notice that their punishment and inability to walk into their promise is the same number of years that this man looked from the outside, unable to step in. Choosing life is choosing God. Choosing his ways, his promises, his timing. Choosing to remove victim mentality and choosing to remove excuses. Because just a few verses later, Jesus finds the very man that he just healed. He asked him, wilt thou be made whole? And then he tells him to take up his bed and walk. But it's not till verse 14. It says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, we're not guaranteed, but the evidence seems to support that the reason this man was impotent for so many years could have been from a choice that he made. Sin no more. Where else do we read that? We read that with the woman caught in adultery, right? Jesus forgives her, but he goes forward and says, sin no more. She's caught in the very act, and this is how Jesus responds to her. So there's a entire chance that this is what happened to this man. Don't let something worse happen to you. Choose to remove victim mentality and choose to remove excuses. You see, he's found in the house of God. There he is made whole. Not just a physical healing now, but a spiritual. He has a renewed place amongst his fellow believers. He's no longer the outcast of society, having to wait with all the other sick and lame people. But now he can join the rest of everybody else in worship to God. He has a renewed worship, a renewed praise, and a renewed thankfulness. You see, compare this to the 10 lepers. How many of the 10 lepers were cleansed? All 10. How many were made whole? One. That one returned to Jesus. He didn't keep going on his way. You see, he returned to Jesus and he fell down and glorified him. He glorified God. He humbled himself and he thanked him. Because being made whole was something of the Spirit. Again, the Pharisees had the eyes, the ears, and the walking. But inside, they were like dead man's bones. They were like a sepulcher or a tomb. A whitewashed wall, they're called. They look beautiful on the outside. They got it all together in front of everybody else. But on the inside, they're hiding nothing but death, decay. They're hiding nothing but evil. They're hiding nothing but selfishness. They sought to argue with Jesus rather than to rejoice. You see, every Sunday, there is a potential for a miracle here. Every Wednesday, there's a potential for a miracle here. Every day you're at your house, there's a potential for a miracle. But if we're too busy focusing on, well, I can't believe that happened. Can you believe what so-and-so wore? Can you believe that church let out like 10 minutes late and I made it late to the lunch at the restaurant? When we focus on these things and we're thinking about the things of our flesh, we can miss out on some of the most amazing testimonies that we've ever heard in our life. But sometimes we're so focused on self, Lord, where is mine, that we can't rejoice with the person in front of us who's receiving theirs. And we lose all out on that community. We lose out on that congregation of saying, thank you, Lord, that you blessed them. But Lord, I'm still seeking after mine. But thank you that you gave them that. You see, God has a purpose for everything. And we know that his timing is perfect, correct? I love that song by the Dottie Peoples. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him. Anybody?
Be there right on time.
Be there right on time. You see, despite the multitudes, how many people, what did it say? A great multitude. Imagine the largest crowd you've probably potentially been in. Every one of them had a need. Every one of them were impotent, blind, halt, withered, and waiting. And Jesus walks past every last one of them to heal this man. On the onset and on the outside reading that, we say, hallelujah, thank you, God, for healing this man. And sometimes we easily forget about all the other people that were waiting, right? But he was showing what it meant to be truly whole. Because when he did this, all the great multitudes now wondered, who is this man? How did he just do this? And there's a possibility they're now trying to follow after him. Forget these waters. I want to go after that man. He healed him. He could do the same for me. And then he walks out with this man carrying his bed, and they see the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They see the religious leaders of the day. And they get a good dose of reality of what it truly means to be holy. They get a good dose of reality of what it truly means to be whole.
They get a good dose of reality of what God actually does. But there's one more person that I want to add into this story. If you could all turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him." How many? All the people saw him walking and praising God. "And they knew that it was him, he, which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people," how many? "All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it, and he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" Have you ever considered that for every time Jesus walks into Jerusalem, for every time Jesus walks to or into the temple, he walked right by this man? It says he sat there how long? Daily. Yeah. He sat there daily at the gate called Beautiful. Now, there is an entire possibility that Jesus walked by this man numerous times and yet chose not to heal him. That's a hard thing to accept sometimes, isn't it? Pentecostal church, we believe in healing, right? I do. Amen for it. And I believe God can heal somebody tonight. But I want you to understand, had God healed everybody around him while he was still in the flesh, there would be nobody left to solidify and verify the authority and power that the apostles had with the Holy Spirit. This man had so much more to offer than simply walking in to the temple after being impotent and unable to walk from the time he was born. But now this man showed that the apostles had the power of God living inside of them, that they now had the power and authority to do the same healings and even greater works than that which Jesus did. He legitimized it. It said all the people. Sometimes your healing, your miracle is wrapped up in whoever's around you to see it. Sometimes when you're walking into church in pain and unable to do something and you're crying out, "God, I've come to church day after day, week after week, year after year. Why have you not healed me yet? I know you're a healing God. I've watched people walk up time after time after time. Why have you not healed me yet? Seek ye first the kingdom of God." When we recognize that we're part of a kingdom, we recognize it's not all about me. It's not me first. It's not me, only me. But it's all of us. And if my healing can cause somebody else to come to the Lord, If because of my healing, now the gospel can be presented to somebody, maybe because of my healing, they can see, wow, I've known that person for years. I know they've complained. I know that they've had this problem. I know this is something that has traumatized them for years. And suddenly, right before my very eyes, I watched them get healed. Who is this Jesus? I want to encourage you. Just like he was, he sat there how often? Daily. Don't stop seeking the Lord daily. But if Jesus chooses to walk past you to heal somebody else, rejoice just as strong as when Jesus is going to heal you. Because it's about the kingdom. And John is showing that. Living the good life doesn't mean living only for me. It doesn't mean living the way I want to live it. It doesn't mean living it the way that I receive mine. But that I can rejoice just as greatly when you receive yours. That I can look and say, God is a powerful God. He is building up a community. He is legitimizing the pastor, the ministers. He is legitimizing the church in Athens. So if God bypassed you yesterday or last week or last year, don't stop seeking him daily. But understand that if he chose to walk past you every one of those times, there's a reason. And your miracle is maybe potentially wrapped up in that person that you've been neglecting to invite to church. Maybe it's in that church service that you laid out of. I'm speaking to myself here. I've got things I've been praying for a long time for the Lord to change. The Lord ain't changed yet. And I want to tell you something, studying for this message broke me to think, Lord, not only is there a reason that you walk past me all those times to heal somebody else, but Lord, maybe there's somebody that I need to bring here. Maybe there's somebody that needs to see this. Maybe there's somebody that has to hear me complain long enough that when it finally happens, they say there's nothing but God. There has to be a God. Maybe they didn't believe before, but now they say God has to be real. I watched it too long for him not to be real. There's no way that God can't be real because I've watched it for too long. And now suddenly, they're made whole. Many of us have a past. Many of us have a life that we lived before this. That when we changed for the Lord, people couldn't believe it. You're not the same person. How come you ain't going out and doing the same things with us that you used to? How come you're not living that riotous lifestyle that we used to do, man? How come you're not going out here and partying and drinking and doing all these things like we used to? What's changed you? It's got to be God. It's got to be God himself. Because some of us are at a point that only God could have changed us.
Yeah.
And we made it up in our mind that it had to be God that was going to change us.
Amen.
But we're looking out for each other. We're looking out for those around us, and we're rejoicing with them. I'm so glad you got your healing. Maybe today wasn't my day. Maybe the right person wasn't in service. Maybe the Lord is trying to use it to legitimize somebody's ministry. Maybe he's doing it because it's going to be further on down the road when people I've not even met yet have to see it. But Lord, there's a reason, and this is your kingdom. I'm going to seek ye the kingdom first, right? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want it now, Lord, but if you want me to wait, I know there's a reason for it. You see, Joseph, I want to bring this up in closing. I love the story of Joseph. I love the story of how much that man had to go through. And yet, had he not went through every inconceivable situation, he would not have only saved his family, he wouldn't have saved an entire nation. Look at Joseph while he's in the pit and tell him God has a wonderful plan for your life. Look at Joseph in the prison after being falsely accused of attempting to do things with his master's wife and tell him God has a wonderful plan for your life. Look at Joseph after he's been forgotten for 2 years in the prison and say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. But he did, didn't he? And his miracle happened right when it needed to. His miracle of being able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. His miracle of being promoted into the second in command. Think about this for a moment, that you have somebody that's been in prison for falsely accusing of doing inappropriate things, and now all of a sudden they're the vice president. Right? I mean, let's just be real here. This is the most powerful nation in the world. You can't call that anything but a miracle. And yet God promotes him into this position. And not only saves Egypt, but saves the very family that sold him into slavery to begin with. Had he not done that, Judah would have died. If Judah would have died, we would not have had Jesus come through his lineage. Hello, we would not have had salvation. The decisions that we make may take years and years to fully come to fruition. But when we give it over to God and say, God, I'm not going to stop seeking you daily. Because the very day I do, the very day I stop, may be the very day that you walk past me and said, rise and walk. What if we could all stand for a moment? I have no doubt there are many people in here that have wondered, God, why have you walked past me? I have no doubt that there are many people in here that have cried bitter tears, God, I need you to move in this situation. Why am I seeing everyone else get the blessings and not me? But we saw here, there's a reason. But you see, that man sat there daily. Just because God may have walked past all those other times to help and bless and heal somebody else, don't stop going daily to him. Don't stop going daily to receive. Because when maybe the minister or maybe your friend or maybe somebody else in the church that you've not even got to meet yet comes and speaks to you, you never know when the Lord is going to step in and say, now's the moment. Yeah. Thank you for seeking after me daily. Thank you for being here faithfully. Thank you for seeking after me. Those weren't the times, because if I gave you the healing then, it wouldn't have worked out in your favor or mine. It wouldn't have worked out in your friends or family or neighbor's favor. Because he's looking at just more than me. He's looking for you. If we could all come to the front. I want to encourage everyone here right now. God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you more than what you've ever known. God loves you more than what you'll ever know. Yeah. And even in all those times that you may have prayed and cried bitter tears, wondering, God, why have you not stepped into my situation? God, why have I seen somebody else get healed and not me? God is saving your situation for the greatest of moments. And when you look at it and you look back and you can say, thank God it didn't happen when I wanted it. Because if it happened in my time, it wouldn't have truly been what God wanted. If it happened in my time, Lord, it wouldn't have blessed somebody else. If it happened in my time, maybe it wouldn't have blessed the church. Lord, if it happened in my time, maybe somebody wouldn't have seen the truth of the gospel. Lord, if it happened in my time, maybe somebody wouldn't have been saved, wouldn't have been baptized, wouldn't have received the Holy Ghost. Does it not make our souls rejoice when we see somebody get healed?
Amen.
It does, doesn't it? It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's amazing. And can't you say you're glad you were there to see it? Does it encourage you? Does it strengthen your bond with Christ? And when it does, now imagine not being there. Imagine for a moment you stayed home that day. Oh, that's great for them. That's awesome. It's a lot different when you're actually here, right? It's a lot different when you actually see it, when you're actually there to witness and say, I saw that person in pain, and they're no longer in pain. I saw that person that couldn't walk, and now they can walk. I saw that person blind, but now they can see. Because if we weren't there, what's one of the first things we're probably saying? Boy, I wish I was. Lord, I need to see these things. We hear about them overseas, but why ain't we seeing them here in America? These are things I've heard myself. But we've seen miracles happen in this very church, haven't we?
Amen.
We've seen miracles happen that no man can explain, that only God can do. And so right now, I want us to all lift our hands. I want us to all praise the Lord and thank him for every miracle that we've ever seen. I want us to thank him for every miracle we've ever seen and say, Lord, thank you for doing it in your time. Thank you for doing it in your power. Thank you for doing it in the way that you wanted to. Because, Lord, there are people who see it that now see you, that now see the truth of what you're doing. Lord, today can be that day. Lord, I'm going to come before you daily for my healing and for my neighbor's healing. Lord, I'm going to come before you daily before you, before for my family, Lord, for my friends, Lord, for my co-workers, Lord, for all those that are hurting, Lord, those that are blind, Lord, those that are halt, those that are withered, those that are maimed, Lord, all those that I see that are in pain, and I'm going to rejoice, hallelujah. And Lord, I know that today could very well be my day, Lord, that I receive that miracle, that I receive that healing, hallelujah. Lord, I praise you and I thank you and I give you glory. Lord, there is no one like you. Lord, thank you for the miracles that you had. Lord, thank you for the miracles that you have had in this church. Thank you for everything, Lord. Lord, we know that today could very well be my day. Lord, maybe I didn't get it when I wanted it. Lord, maybe I didn't get it last week or last month or last year, but Lord, today could be my day. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you are great and mighty and powerful and wonderful, Lord, and your kingdom, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Glorify you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to sing it because y'all don't want to hear that. But I love that song. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And he'll renew your strength. Wait on the Lord. And he'll renew your strength. The Lord has a wonderful and perfect timing for everything that he does.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And we can rejoice in it. Amen?
Amen?
We can give him a hand clap of praise. We can praise him. We can say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you are wonderful.
Hallelujah.
As you go home and pray tonight, I encourage you, even if the Lord hasn't answered your prayer that you're asking at this moment, thank him for everyone that you can think of. Thank him for every person that you've watched walk in here and receive their miracle. Thank him for every person that you've seen receive their healing. Thank him for everything that he's done for everyone around you. Because we are the church together.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We are the church together. And sometimes our blessings are wrapped up in each other. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I hope my words did more to encourage you than not. And just want to say that you're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.